Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Let's talk some Bucks basketball. The big news of the day really is game two. The Pistons here at the Fiserv Forum to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Can the Bucks go up 2-0? Eric Name of the Athletic joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope the crowd brings it tonight because I don't want to say it was a boring game because I enjoyed the hell out of it, but there wasn't a whole lot of unknown thrill to it the other day as the Bucks just from the very tip dominated the Detroit Pistons. We are hearing now that Brooke Lopez is going to try to go, but more likely he's going to try to go when they go back home to Detroit. Do you know anything different?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me the thing that makes probably the most sense to me is game three for Blake Griffin to come back and, you know, give it a go. I just think when you think of his injury, you know, they've been talking about, trying to get as much rest as possible. If you wait until game three, that gives you about 10 days from the end of the regular season. It's the first first playoff game in Little Caesars Arena. I think as we've been talking with Dwayne Casey, and as Blake talked a little bit after the game last night, the big thing for that Pistons team this year is they are trying to kind of set the foundation for their franchise and, you know, kind of let people know, like, okay, this is what to expect with the Pistons. They're turning around. They got a great coach, Dwayne Casey. They have a star, Blake Griffin. So I think their goal is to kind of get all that messaging right and, you know, kind of set down what this franchise is going to be like going forward. And, you know, maybe they don't win a playoff game this year, but in game three, you know, you get that kind of, I don't want to say moment, but you know, you kind of get that feel that like, okay, this is our star. This is our guy. He's willing to play through injury. And, you know, I think to me, that's really what makes the most sense is game three for Blake. He may try to give it a go tonight, but ultimately I'd be surprised if, he's able really to have an impact in this series.
So we were sitting here talking before about how many points I think the Bucks are going to win by. I'm saying 17 tonight. I don't think there's any reason without Blake Griffin that this Bucks team can't at least somewhat simulate what they did the other night. They came out with more energy. They had more speed. They played more tenacity when it came to defense. They were hitting their shots. Now, Detroit missed a lot of shots, but I think part of that was due, in fact, to that the Bucks were just playing better defense. So tell me why I should fear Detroit at all.
Oh, wow. This is the hardest question you've ever asked me. Let's see. Why they should fear the Pistons at all? Zaza might injure Giannis. this is really tough. No, this Pistons team just isn't very good. Like, they just squeaked into the playoffs, and they did so kind of on the back of Blake Griffin having an all-NBA season. And, you know, in the same way that everything in Milwaukee is built around Giannis, and again, it's not to say that Chris Middleton isn't good, that Eric Bledsoe isn't good, that Andre Drummond isn't good, that Reggie Jackson isn't good, but, you know, everything in Milwaukee is built around Giannis. In the same way with the Pistons, everything in Detroit is built around Blake Griffin. So when you take out that thing, like, you can still run the same stuff, you can run the same sets, you can try to do the same things, but it's just not going to work as well. And, you know, we've seen those games where Giannis is out and the Bucks struggle a little bit and they're a little bit closer to a 500 team. You know, that's kind of this Pistons team, except, you know, a little bit worse version of that. Like, their complementary players just aren't quite as good. So, honestly, there's not a whole lot to fear with this Pistons team, especially even with Blake in. You know, you'd be thinking about Blake Griffin, but, you know, with Blake out, there's just not a lot to fear there. There can be nights where Andre Drummond is a real monster on the glass, but the Bucks have been the best defensive rebounding team in the league this entire season, and Brooke Lopez is a huge part of that. So really, like, the one big threat that they could have, the Bucks are really kind of able to neutralize because they just rebound the ball so well and they don't really let Andre Drummond get loose.
I go back to your sentiment that this may get physical. I had said going into the postseason, and I think Giannis is is they're not going to say go hurt them, but they're going to go say beat them up and make them earn it. And he's, you know, he's going to get his. So then they're going to concentrate on defending the others. But that's my only concern, is that, you know, Giannis may be the guy that takes the ire, takes the brunt. I was just mentioning Tim Frazier before we went to break. He was the guy that was popping a three with 28 seconds to go and kind of rubbing their noses in it when they were up easily and really should have just held on to the basketball. But I just wonder how physical this thing's going to get before it's all said and done.
I think the tough part of all this is when, you know, you look at the way, like, James Harden dominates a game, you know, he dominates the ball, and that's all good and fine. But, you know, there's a lot of finesse to it. It's shooting threes, shooting step-back threes. Like, it's pretty hard to, you know, like, it's going to be frustrating at the end of the night that, you know, you get beat by a step-back three, but you're not emasculated in any way. Like, you're like, oh, you know, that was a tough shot. Like, you're really skillful. The way that Giannis dominates is through physicality. Like, you just can't keep him away from the rim, and that means you're going to be bouncing off him. That means, like Andre Drummond the other night, like, that means you're going to give up some offensive rebounds, and that's what happened. Like, Giannis had been crushing them the entire game. Giannis is still playing hard because that's what he does, and gets an offensive rebound, and Drummond is frustrated and gives him a two-hand push. Like, all of those things, are the only way for Giannis to dominate is to dominate you physically. And you know, after the game, Dwayne Casey said the Bucks played with violence, and I thought that was just the best description I've heard of kind of how Giannis dominates a game. Like, it is violent. Like, he's going to destroy the rim. He's going to go right through your defense. And when I say go through, like, he's going to bounce off of you because he's just so big and strong that in the end, you're not just getting beat by a lot on the scoreboard. Like, you're getting beat up physically because Giannis is just going to go through you. So I think it does really lend itself to, you know, some dirty play. Like, you're just going to have chances to throw elbows at him. You're going to have chances to bump him. You're going to have chances, you know, when he's in the air to hit him a little bit. And again, like, you never want to hear of a team, like, going out and saying, I mean, I don't think this is going to be a New Orleans Saints situation where, you know, they have, like, the bounty out for him or anything. But you're right. It's going to be physical, and that's how teams are going to have to try to deal with them.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks tonight, game two against the Pistons, looking to go up 2-0 over Detroit. How was the building the other day? I was talking to Joe about this, and I know, and I'm just kind of looking outside tonight. There's people walking around our building today. It's kind of lethargic. It's cloudy. It's foggy, and got some rain coming. And I know weather affects moods, but I would assume the Bucks fans are going to be out of their mind going to this game this evening. But, you know, how was the building the other day?
I think this is a really interesting thing. I've been talking with people about this all year, but I'm someone who believes that the best crowds are in close games, because any fan is going to feel like they have skin in the game. Like, they're going to feel like, hey, if I yell during this free throw or whatever it may be, like, you know, this guy might actually miss and it might help the team win, and you really feel a part of it. When your team is dominating, like, it's, yeah, obviously you're going to clap and you're going to be happy that you get to see like a cool dunk, but it's never going to feel like, oh man, they really need this moment. So, you know, I thought it was really loud in the first, you know, probably 5-10 minutes, and then all of a sudden the Bucks were up huge within, you know, the first half of the first quarter.
Right.
So then all of a sudden it was just like, yeah, this is great. Like, this is fun. But you don't really feel like, you know, you got to be loud and you got to be active. So I'm going to be thinking about the crowd in the second round. Like, when, you know, it feels like there's an opponent there that could really kind of, you know, take advantage of you, maybe beat you. I just don't get that feel with this Pistons team. So for now, it's just, you know, kind of a fun party to be around, not a do or die game, not a game that, you know, you really have to get up for and go crazy for.
I'm trying to find an angle here that we're going to analyze that's going to make this thing close, and kind of the X factor of this game and who's got to come up big. And really, I just, the more I look at this and talking with Pau Gasol earlier this week during the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, I look at this and just say, if the Bucks just play their game, they're going to win this thing going away. There's not much to it than that. And like you said, I just don't think Detroit's that good. I mean, their finish line was, let's just get to the postseason, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, this is a strange spot to be in, and, you know, Obviously, this is what they did the whole year. They built everything up this whole year to build towards the postseason. And in doing so, your goal was, you know, to get yourself an easy opponent, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. That's why you play hard, and that's why you win games, and that's why you try to get better during the regular season. And, you know, they did that, and I think the opponent is even easier than I think anyone expected. Like, you know, there was probably a little while where this could have been a team like the Nets, and the Nets are obviously more healthy and, you know, play a style of basketball that might be able to, you know, beat up the Bucks a little bit. You know, that might make them struggle a little bit. Kenny Atkinson knows Bud really well, so they coach well against each other. Like, you know, there was maybe some other matchups out there. The Hornets, they kind of struggled with Walker. Like, there was chances for this to be, you know, a tougher series. And, you know, they just happened to get the Pistons without Blake Griffin. And, you know, they just don't – the Pistons just don't really have a chance. And, you know, I'm sure they're very happy to be back in the playoffs. But, yeah, I can't imagine them getting a win in this series.
Appreciate it, Eric. I like the fact that you say the Pistons just don't have a chance.
They don't.
It's just – by the time we talk again next week, it's probably we're sitting here waiting for the next opponent. Who do you like? You know, who would you like to see the Bucks face as far as close games, good basketball in the next round?
I mean, I think the Celtics are probably the team in the Eastern Conference that have the best chance of beating the Bucks. Like, even better than the Raptors, even better than the Sixers. I think the Celtics are the team that, you know, if they have it together, that's the team that the Bucks should probably fear most. Just because Kyrie Irving is such a fantastic postseason player, and Al Horford always gives the Bucks problems. So, you know, to me, that's the team that stands out. So, if we're looking for a good series, hopefully a couple barn burners, I would say it would be the Celtics getting through. And, you know, maybe Bucks fans don't want that. Maybe they want the Pacers, so it's a little bit easier. But from a basketball perspective, that would be what our best series would be if it ends up being the Celtics in the next round.
Eric, great stuff. We'll chat again next week, okay?
I look forward to it.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Eric Name of The Athletic joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.